Thank you, Mark. It is indeed good to be among you today. As it is every time that we assemble, I think this is a wonderful blessing that so many would commit their lives to be here and to be a part of the work that goes on here. As we prepare, would you turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and we'll be there for just a little bit. First, want to take care of a little business. I did not draw this. If I did, you wouldn't be able to tell that those are grapes. In fact, those look edible to me. Jerry did a nice job on that, and I appreciate that. And Shane, your class was just ideal. I'm going to leave that point up there for a little bit. I think that dovetails nicely. And Laura has done some work on a bulletin board out there. We're careful, aren't we, Shane, about being braggadoce or listing things that we've accomplished. We're real careful about accolades and things, and rightfully so, because the things that we accomplish are not of, they're just expected, aren't they? We're created into good works. Ephesians 2:10, I think, is pretty clear on that. So it's what's expected of the servant that we should give our lives, right? We just had that in class a few weeks ago. But I think it is nice to have others mention things that are special to them that happen in this group. So Laura's got a bulletin board out there, and she didn't know I was going to do this, but I just kind of decided on the way up, this is what I want to do with that board. There's people in this group that have done things for you. I don't want any names to show up on that bulletin board at all. But if you have been the beneficiary of some fruit of someone else's life, would you just kind of jot just a few words about that on that bulletin board? Just jot a few words on the bulletin board about that. And we'll leave that up there for a little bit. I think there's so much going on here that many, many, many of us don't have any idea. And yet it's nice to share those things amongst us, albeit anonymously. And Lonnie, let me answer your question before I go any further. The butterflies remain. The secret is to try to keep them out of the head. If you can keep them down in the stomach, you do a little bit better, I think. But I'll try to keep those where they belong this morning. Hopefully you're in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, but let me tell you a story before we go there. On June 23rd, 1995, the New York Times had an article about a man that was the former president of the United Way of America. Most of us know what United Way is. When I was working at Milgram's, every year they'd come around and they'd have a United Way drive, and they'd have you fill out a little form and says, I give this much of my check to United Way. And Milgram's was very gracious to take those funds out of my check and give them to United Way. The intent is good, is it not? The intent is that these funds should go and help these people. People that desperately need help. The world is full of them. So certainly charities exist. And charities exist ideally for a good idea. Anybody remember what happened in June of 1995? The past president of the United Way? He squandered about $1.2 million worth of those funds that were set aside to do good. He used them to have a little fling with his girlfriend. That was the first thing he did. And then he endowed upon himself and his closest friends all kinds of pleasures and assets of all kinds. I don't know what you'd buy in a fling that costs $1.2 million, but it must have been a big one. But anyway, he was found out. I'm sure that most anybody that heard about it was upset about it, but who do you think the people were upset the most were? Who was the people that was the most upset? Wasn't it the people that gave the funds? Wasn't it the people that had maybe scrimped a little bit, saved a little bit, set aside a little bit, wrote the check, sent it to the organization, only to have those funds squandered. Didn't reach the intended target. Now, I'm not here to promote or not to promote the United Way. You do as you will. We were looked down on at Milgram's, by the way, if we didn't. And I can understand that mindset, but I'm not sure that I agree with forcing people to give to charities, but certainly that one took a black eye. And actually, that started many charities to be scrutinized, because when people give, they intend for it to go to a good purpose. What about God? What about God? When He gives, what does He intend? In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse and following, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command to you today. God was very clear with these people what His statutes, what His judgments were. Lest when you have eaten and are full, isn't that the time? Lest when we have eaten and we're full, we have built beautiful homes and dwelt in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water to you out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you, to do good in the end. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands has gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Then it shall be, if by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship them, serve them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. It's a pretty harsh message, isn't it? The Lord doesn't diddle around here. What we see is a God that's provided all things. And we look back at the children of Israel, don't we? We look back on them and say, shame on you. Didn't God bring you out of Egypt with an almighty hand? Wasn't there a pillar of fire in the day and at night, a cloud during the day? And we had water coming out of a rock, and we had the manna, and we had the quail, and all this stuff, on and on and on. Yeah, we did. But they failed, didn't they? They failed to remember who and by what power these things were done. And God said, if that's the case, I will forget you, and you will perish. Now, if this lesson doesn't apply to you, if you've got this under control, go ahead and start your nap, because the rest of it's going to be about this. We have great blessings, brethren. We have great blessings. And all you have to do is scan your eyes from side to side, and you're going to see the beginning of a huge list of all that God has provided us, has provided me. In 2006, what did I do with those blessings? In 2006, as we look back, was God lax in His promise? Not at all. But how did I segue those things into something to His glory? You know, there's many of us that gave of our time, gave of our money, gave of the food in our pantry and prepared it and shared it with others throughout the year. I know that's commonplace. I can tell you that from a leader, we're thankful for the many that are involved in the VBS. The last 2 years, we've had more involvement than we've had the previous years before for quite a little while. Many more people involved. We're thankful for that. You've welcomed people into your homes. You've opened up your doors of hospitality and friendship. Some have gone door to door. Are you interested in the truth? We don't know how fruitful those things are. But somebody may have closed the door and opened their Bible. We don't know that. Many of you taught. Many of you spoke. Many of you prepared for classes. Many of you faithfully pray. Many of you send cards. There are many acts of love that goes on within this congregation, for which I'm thankful. But my question to you this morning is, does God look at us as a congregation? When the congregation accomplishes something, does that go to my list of fruits that I've accomplished? If Smart Road does something neat, maybe the winter study. I didn't have time for it, but don't I still get credit for it, God? Well, we just finished the series on Revelation, and we know that when a congregation has problems, the Lord's going to come and remove the lampstand. But even on the congregations that he was about to remove the lampstand, he still had people, and he commended, didn't he? There's still people that get commendation, and I can assure you the reverse, I think, is true. This morning, I want to remind us of God's abundant supply of blessings that he's given us. And then, we need to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Second Peter, second and third chapter. I'm sorry, the first chapter, second, third verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. I think that's very important here. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things. It's not a partial list. Has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. All things provided because we have the knowledge of him called us by glory and by virtue. And so as we look behind us this morning and we look at Brother Jerry's artwork, I'd like for this, and it's easy to figure it out in Jerry's drawing. Mine, you wouldn't have had a clue, but this is the vine. I appreciate Mark reading John 15, one of my favorite passages, probably because I think about this. But the vine. Have you ever been out in the woods and cut trees? I know Brother Crane and others have been out to our place and dice up some wood. It's interesting about a grapevine, more so than a tree. I think Wayne will agree with this. When you take a grapevine that's active and you cut it off with an axe or chainsaw just to get it out of the way, right? They're always in the way. They're hanging down and they grow just so freely. If you'll come back to that grapevine in about 2 hours, what are you going to see? The part that's still connected to the ground has got all kinds of stuff coming up
out of that cut-off stub.
Now, trees don't do that so fast, but a grapevine, if you go back and look, you'll see a plethora of sustenance, nourishment that was meant for the rest of the vine. God has such a supply over and above anything that we need. Such a wonderful supply. And I'm going to ask you to add to my list, because I think it's important to enumerate these things, at least think about them. What has God got coming up that vine that's good for the branches to use? What is in the supply line? I'd like to put up here the very first, God's love. Wasn't it his love that caused him to stop and say, you know, I'm going to supply a plan of salvation for these poor people? He could have just hit the reset button, destroyed us, and started all over. But he didn't. Thus, he provided for us a plan of salvation. Now, brethren, I don't want to get caught up in the grace works thing at all this morning. I think it's going to be very clear what the Bible is teaching on this. And if you want to find the grace of God, just look right here. If you want to see the grace of God, look right here. All things pertaining to life and godliness have already been supplied. And so we would include with this grace, God's abundant grace. Romans, the third chapter. Our men did a great job on Romans. Every time I study that book, I have a greater appreciation for it. I need to keep doing that, I guess. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God that is apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. There's the foundation, isn't it? We understand these things a little bit more clearly because of the law, and certainly the prophets are part of the foundation. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. 23, a common scripture, but I think 24 has got to follow it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And people stop right there. But the blessing follows. Being justified freely by His grace. Being justified freely by His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood. Oh, the blood. The blood, so important. So important. Why did God spend so much time teaching those people about sacrifice? And why did they do it over and over and over and over again? Rather than sacrifice. So important. Through faith, I think that's our job. Through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing, God's grace, and provision of His Son's blood. And so we would include with that then the sacrifice, would we not? But you know what's neat is that on most every lap is something that's been preserved for how many years now? Do you believe that what's on your lap is accurate? Isn't that an amazing accomplishment that the Holy Spirit would reserve the truth for you and for me that we might know with assurance? You have a question that what's on your lap isn't right? Why not? It's thousands of years old. Men have attacked it and tried to twist it. And yet what we have on our lap, I am absolutely convinced, is the true Word of God. What a wonderful accomplishment. And so when we write up here the Word, that really has several meanings, doesn't it? Because in the beginning was the Word, and so Jesus, in a way, is the Word. But when I write the Word up here, we can also mean the Holy Scriptures. God's Word, that's our promise, and what we can understand, so we'll know what God expects of us. And I think these are not in any particular order at all, but it's certainly a great work of the Holy Spirit to provide this for us. And to work amongst us today, I believe the Holy Spirit is very active within this congregation. I'm thankful for that. I think we just came through a selection of officers that the Holy Spirit oversees. So these men were chosen among you, and the Holy Spirit oversaw them. Brethren, another incredible blessing is the body. Universal, local. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And I've never known it any other way. Partially because of decisions my parents have made and decisions I have made for my family. I've not known it any other way, but what, I only drive a half an hour and I'm with faithful brethren. And you know what? I don't get stopped along the way because it's illegal for me to do it. It's not so in the rest of the world. In some places it's illegal. And in many places, it would be a little hard to find. And it could be you and one other family. I know some brethren in Arizona that started out that way. What did they get out of it? Did they come to the assembly intending to get? If it's only you and your family, the getting is going to be short, isn't it? The getting, the studying, the preparing. Making it happen. Lone Jack is deeply involved with that. And many of you have come from small congregations and appreciate what I'm saying. We have great blessings here. And I pray that we, first of all, appreciate them, and second of all, we don't take advantage of them. Here's a big one. You know, we always say that even when we're busy, I know God gives us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah, He does. He really does. And you know what? I get to decide what I do with that time. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. There's lots of reasons why people will miss Sister Otta. And I can assure you that it's not because she was self-focused. I can assure you it's not because she held things to herself and thought about Otta. Those of you that knew her knew that Otta was busy serving. Serving Ralph. Serving her family, serving the congregation. Ralph and Otto were always there, always busy, always working. And so when you think back on a life, is it the life that has served itself and built great things for themselves, edifices unto themselves? That's what Las Vegas is, by the way. Or is it the lady with two minds that gives, even when it's not convenient to give, that serves? It's Dorcas with a needle. Our forefathers have given us, I think, much to live up to. There's been many great men and women that are still amongst us, and some that are gone. There are great blessings that I believe are provided by God for me. For me. I admit that not many families can look within themselves and say there's great blessing. But many of us can. Many of us can. To whom much is given, much is expected. This one applies to many of us. A blessing from God of being reared in the church. Being reared in the truth. If I had something I loved to do, if I had something that was so meaningful to me that I'd do it every chance that I could, maybe for some of us it's video games. For some of us maybe it's eating. For some of us it's quiet time. For some of us it's remote control. But I pray for all of us, it's the assemblies. Where else can you go to be with your brethren? Where else can you go and come and be edified? And I pray that's what we're doing for each other this morning. Brethren, what else would you rather do? What other thing can you do that is like this, that has eternal blessings? To help us focus, we all need help in our daily walk. And yes, some of you is not going to agree with me here, but I'm going to say it because I love you and because I think God has given us this blessing, not just once a week. What else is there, brethren, that's more important? I'll leave that thought with you because you know where I stand on that one. All things pertaining to life and godliness, daily bread, are daily sustenance. If you think your career is self-made, then check your mind. Look at the capacity that you have, and then look at somebody that doesn't have that capacity, and you tell me you'd still have that career if you didn't have the capacity. Look at the opportunity that you had to go to school. You happen to be born in the United States. Self-made? Can't be. Daily bread provided by God. Great blessing. Great blessing. All these things, brethren, I submit to you, are coming up the vine. They're coming up the vine, and they're being presented right here. I'll give you a minute. What did I miss? What do you want to add to that? Health. As is usually the case, can I go by this clock? So what? All these blessings come into this port in the vine right here where you attach. Does God know about them? Absolutely, He provided. Now what? What's He expect? What's He expect? Well, you know what He said to the children of Israel. I gave you all these things. It's the same God. It's the same standard. So what do we need? We need a list. Give me a list. Give me some things that I need to do. Give me, let me serve on a committee and, we'll come up with a list of things that we need to get done and I'll get that list done and I'll feel really good about myself. We like it that way, don't we? The Pharisees liked it that way too. The Pharisees liked to show, but inside they were whitewashed sepulchers, weren't they? So what's God want? What's He really want? Oh. If your mind isn't racing to Galatians, the fifth chapter, it should be. I want you to notice that these are not fruits with an S. We don't get to pick and choose. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. That's the important part. Those passions and those desires that cause us to take these great blessings and steal them and use them to our own benefit, to our own gain. We look down our nose at the president of the United Way for what he did. What are we doing with the blessings that are provided to us? I'd like another half an hour, because we're only halfway through. But let me put a couple up here for you. You know what? The love that he uses here is not this real friendly, you know, fuzzy, I really love you, you're a great guy, and you are. But that's not the love that he chose to use here. Anybody know the love that he chose here? Which love? Agape. That's what ought to come out of this. When you look at this list and you say, I really don't see any works in there. I don't see any specifics. That's because God wants a change to come from the inside out. It's the renewing of the mind, Romans 12 and 1. And this list, as we work our way through it in our lives, will renew our mind and will result in things that others will see in the way of service. But if I have agape love, one commentary called this an unconquerable benevolence. An unconquerable benevolence. I've got this need, and I can't satisfy it to serve others because I agape you. Joy. Oh, brother, the joy ought to just overflow. Yeah, but I can't make the house payment this month. Kid's sick again. Got that flu stuff. I'm not talking about happiness. We're talking about joy. This is a decision. This is a commitment. It's the kind of joy that I decide because of all the things that God has done for me. Peace. Oh, brethren, we of all people should be at peace. We have the promise. We have the promise. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. What a list. No? There's not a committee membership in there anywhere. There's not a specific task for us to perform to check it off a list. Self-control. Mastering the desires of love and pleasure. That's kind of interesting. I like that. Self-control. Mastering the desires of love and pleasure. First Peter 4, 7 through the 10th verse. But the end of all things is at hand. Brethren, if you don't believe that, you're not paying attention. Christ has already come and claimed Ada Bratcher amongst us. Her race is run. But the end of all things is at hand. And just as soon as my heart beats its last, that will be true for me. And that'll be true for you. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things. Where is this placed in our priority list? Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. When we look at each other, brethren, we can't look at the sin. And that's the first thing we often see. You've offended me. You don't treat me fair. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And then verse 10. As each one has received a gift, and brethren, 5, 2, and 1, right? The talents, there wasn't a zero in there anywhere. As each one of us has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God, brethren, has provided us with all things pertaining to life and godliness. And as he says there in John 15, the second verse, he cuts right to it, doesn't he? What happens if I have decided not to use the blessings that God has given me? What if I've decided not to truly give my life to Him? It's cut off. You're tossed into the fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. Opportunity is not an excuse. Mental capacity is not an excuse. Health is not an excuse. I see no exceptions here at all, brethren. All I see are great opportunities for us to serve, because we have been given great blessings with which to serve. It's with love that I give you this. I hope it focuses me and you as we press through 2007. There's much to do. The fields are white with harvest. There's much work to be done. And it's not just the 2-week meeting. There's those amongst us that need our prayers. There's those amongst us that need our cards, our calls. Brethren, there's much service to be done. We've been given all things. And when He comes, I pray, He'll say, well done. If you are outside the body this morning, you are not connected to the supply line. You do not get to enjoy the blessings that we enjoy as a part of the body of Christ. Yes, there is great responsibility here. But tell me, how important is eternity to you? How important is eternity? Is it important enough to bow your knee? You will. You'll bow it now and confess Him and live your life before Him. Enjoy and praise and honor. It's a wonderful life. Or you can take all those blessings and you can build the biggest monument to yourself as you want. Just remember, those things burn. And Peter tells us it's all going to get cooked. If you're outside of the body, you have nothing to live for except to make the decision to give your life to Him, as we sing.